In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ said in the Gospel, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is a word that comes from the Aramaic, and it means riches. So to serve mammon is to make material possessions the object of your trust and your faith, and to make it the primary focus of your life. When someone's already wealthy, if they have fallen into this sin, they do so because they believe it is their riches that are going to get them through life, and they worship their riches because of the security that they believe that their riches will give to them, and also because of the power that comes with being rich. The book of Ecclesiasticus, or the Wisdom of Sirach, as it's variously known, says in chapter 13, verse 3, "A rich person does wrong and even adds insults. A poor person suffers wrong and must add apologies." And further on in the same chapter, beginning with verse 21, he says, "When the rich person totters, he is supported by friends, but when the humble falls, he is pushed away even by friends. If the rich person slips, many come to the rescue. He speaks unseemly words, but they justify him. If the humble person slips, they even criticize him. He talks sense, but is not given a hearing. The rich person speaks, and all are silent. They extol to the clouds what he says. The poor person speaks, and they say, 'Who is this fellow?' And should he stumble, they even push him down." And it closes with this statement: "Riches are good if they are free from sin. Poverty is evil only in the opinion of the ungodly." Unfortunately, the observations made by the Wisdom of Sirach are all too true. If you're wealthy, your wealth gives you a great deal of power. People think that you're smarter than you really are. People think that you're more attractive than you are. You can just see rich businessmen and the wives that they have hanging on their arms, and you know that if it wasn't for that money, the chances that they would so consistently have these beautiful women hanging on their arms would be pretty slim. But nevertheless, that wealth is a great attraction. But that's not how God sees things. Christ says elsewhere in the Gospels, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." The Scriptures do not say that it's impossible for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. But Christ said, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And with great wealth comes great responsibilities as well as great temptations. That's perhaps why God has not given most of us great wealth, because we wouldn't know how to handle it without falling into those sins. But you don't have to be rich to worship mammon rather than God. The temptation for most of us to worship material possessions rather than God is because we don't have great wealth. We see ourselves as being just maybe a few steps from the poorhouse, and we're consumed with worry, and so make getting more money the focus of our lives. This comes either from a lack of faith in God's ability to provide for us, or perhaps a lack of faith that God's inclined to provide for us. But what does Christ say in the Gospel that we just read? "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?' For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." The fact that we have these needs is something that God recognizes, and it's not a sin for us to recognize that we have these needs as well. But as St. Paul said, we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything, By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's easier to say, be anxious for nothing, than it is to actually do it. But if we will strive to do that, if we will ask God to give us the faith, if we will pray and ask God to provide for us, if we'll study the scriptures, if we'll try to live out the gospel, our life will continue to see that God will in fact provide for us, and our faith will be strengthened as we learn to trust in Him. There's a great deal of wisdom in the prayer of serenity that's been made popular by its use by Alcoholics Anonymous. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We should diligently do what wisdom dictates when it comes to providing for ourselves and for our families. We shouldn't just sit around and wait for God to feed us. If you look at the birds of the air don't do that. They're busy about the day making provision for themselves and for their offspring. But the difference between most of us and them is that the birds are not anxious. God's given them the ability to provide for themselves, and they do so. And so the things that we can change, we need to be focused on. We need to work to do whatever we can to provide for ourselves and our families. But there's a certain amount of things that are beyond our control. There's things that can happen to us that we have no control over. We could lose our job. Our country could be invaded. The stock market could crash, and the dollar could become worthless tomorrow for all we know. There's a lot of things that we don't have any means of having any influence on them one way or the other. But if we take care of the things that we do have influence over and then trust God for the things that we can't, we can believe that God will get us through it. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." In other words, do what you need to do, give it to God, and then trust Him to take care of the rest. We see a good example of someone who truly trusted in God's provision in the life of St. Philaret the Almsgiver, who lived during the 8th century in Asia Minor. He was a very wealthy man, but he was also a very pious man, and he began to see that God had provided him with great wealth for a reason, and so he was constantly helping out the poor people around him. Then one day, much like the story of Job, there was an invasion, and the area that he lived in was laid waste. Most of his herds were taken, most of his servants were taken, and he had only a few things that were left. He had two oxen, a horse, an ass, a cow, and a calf, and he had some beehives. And one day he was out working in his fields, and he was thanking God that God had given him or put him in a position to where he could earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And he was plowing his field with his ox, or one of his oxen. And a neighbor of his oxen, died while he was plowing his field. And this neighbor knew that St. Philaret had become very poor and was no longer in a position to be as generous as he had been in the past. But nevertheless, he went to him knowing he was a holy man and hoping that he might be able to give him some words of consolation. So he came to him and he poured out his grief that his ox had died and he didn't know what to do. So St. Philaret loosed the ox from the yoke that he had attached to his plow and gave it to him. And he said, "I've got another ox, so don't worry about it." And he came home carrying the yoke, and his wife saw this and berated him. "What happened to the ox?" And he said, "Look, we've got another ox." This guy, she told the story, and she wasn't very happy about it even after it was all explained to her. Then a couple weeks later, the same man's, the ox that he had been given by St. Philaret, ate some poisonous plant and it died. So again, he came to St. Philaret, and this time St. Philaret gave him the last ox that he had. Then the East Roman Empire at that time was rallying troops to go fight these invaders that had laid the land waste, and there was a soldier whose horse had died in some sort of an accident, and he came to St. Philaret because he knew that he had a horse, and he said, "I'm sorry to have to ask, but I'll be flogged if I go back to my unit without a horse. Could you please lend me your horse?" So he gave him the horse. Then a famine came to the land, and he took his donkey and he went to a neighbor's estate, and he borrowed some wheat from him. And when he came back, there were some beggars that came there, and he gave him his share of the wheat. And his wife again berated him. Look, we're reduced to the utmost poverty, and here you are giving away what little bit that we have left. But nevertheless, he gave that beggar that bit of wheat. Then he had very little to give to poor people who had come, but he still had his beehives, and so he would go and give honey to beggars that would come by and ask for it. And then one day his few remaining servants started to realize that what little food they had was being given away very rapidly, so they hid what honey was left in the beehives. And so when he went to the beehives, when a beggar came by and he found that there was nothing to give him, he gave him the robe that he had, and he came back without his robe, and his wife said, "What happened to your robe?" "Well, I didn't have anything to give to this poor man, and so I gave him my robe." Then some other neighbor became aware of his problems, and he began to send him a regular supply of wheat. And so he told to his wife, "Look, God has taken care of us. We're not going hungry." But they certainly were not living a very fancy life. Then, at that time, the Empress Irene had the rule of the empire, and her son Constantine was coming of age. And so she sent out emissaries throughout the empire to look to see if they could find a bride of noble birth that was beautiful, that would be suitable for her son. And one of these emissaries came to the town that St. Philaret was from and saw that his house was the biggest house in the neighborhood, so he just assumed that this was where the rich people were. And he certainly was of noble lineage. But other people told him, "No, if you go there, they're not going to have anything. He's a very generous man, and he's given away almost everything that they have." But nevertheless, this emissary decided to go there. So St. Philaret, when he found out these people were coming, he told his wife, "We'll make ready a big feast because we have guests that are coming." And she said, "You know, we don't have anything. All we have is, you know, just a little bit of grain, and we have some goose feet that, you know, that we cook with it. We don't even have wine or oil. I don't even remember the last time we've had wine and oil in the house. So what is it you expect me to do?" And he said, "Just go ahead and get everything ready, and God will provide." And some of his neighbors, who were aware that he had these guests and that he also had nothing to feed them with, sent food and wine and everything, and so a meal was prepared. God provided yet again. And these emissaries asked him about his daughters, and his daughters were by that time married, but he had granddaughters, and when they saw his granddaughters, they recognized them as being extremely beautiful. And so they picked the tallest one, because the emperor-to-be, Constantine, was a very tall man, and brought her back to Constantinople. And of all the women like her that had been brought there, she was in fact selected to be the bride of the future Emperor Constantine. And as a result of that relationship, when the emperor became aware of his father or grandfather-in-law, I guess, the generosity he had, he began to bestow a great deal of gifts upon him. And he saw St. Philaret as a means for him to give to the poor in the area. So he gave him a regular supply of things that he could distribute to the poor. So his family was restored to a standard of living that was a little bit better than what his wife was complaining about. But to his dying day, he continued to give to the poor with the utmost generosity. He believed that God meant what he said in the gospel reading that we have today, that God will take care of us. And if we will have that kind of faith, God will take care of us, whatever may come our way. As the Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Through the prayers of St. Philaret, the almsgiver, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen.